precious, pressing time. I do understand, guys, that many people are struggling out there. I just want you to consider the fact that what God has done and what God has enabled and what God has allowed, this is His world and He knows what's going on. Nothing has caught Him by surprise, and so we just need to continue to press on and press forward and join in on our services and worshiping together and singing together, serving together as best we can until this thing blows over. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 30 again. Proverbs in chapter 30. We're going to pick up where we left off last week in a message that I brought to you. We'll review that here in just a moment. But Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 29, the Bible says, "And there be three things which go well, yea, four comely and go, and a lion which is strongest among the beasts, and turneth not away for any, a greyhound and an he-goat also, and a king against whom there is no rising up." Heavenly Father, we thank You again for the honor and precious opportunity You've given us to come together one with another. Father, we ask You to please guard and protect the technology today. Allow it to reach out into people's homes, into their hearts. Father, I pray that those that will partake in this message, be it this morning or any other time, dear Lord, I pray that Your holy hand would rest upon them, give them guidance, grace, and mercy. Most importantly, I pray that they would know You as the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that they would accept the free gift of eternal life, dear Father, and from there on, grow in the grace of God, that we may come boldly unto that throne. In Jesus Christ's name we do ask. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. I want to speak to you again this morning on this topic. Go well. Go well. I want to speak to you on how we, as believers, can go well. And beloved, again, there are some attributes that we take, just in by way of review, that we take from the animal kingdom, from the animal world, that are used by God that we can apply in our life. When we apply it in our life, it not only brings the benefit, but the blessing in one way or another to those that are around us and in our own life. The Apostle Paul made it clear saying this. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth to those things which are before." He says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now, the reason I say that, the reason I use that verse here this morning by way of introduction as well as last week before we go into this brief and quick review, is that when the Lord tells us here, well, we're reading in Psalm 30 in verse 3, verse 29, and He's saying there are three things which go well, yea, four are comely and going. We are speaking on the topic of going well. For you to go well in your life, go well in your days, in your walk, in your work, in your ways, in your words, everything that we do, we can go well if we take the attributes of the Word of God, if we follow the Lord Jesus Christ, as our faith and our trust and our dependence is placed upon Him and what He has given us in the Holy Scripture. My friend, He has given us a guidebook today. This should be your sole authority for faith and practice. It should not be your final authority, your sole authority. Final authority gives the inference that you have checked other things out prior to coming to the Scripture. This Bible, this Word of God is our sole authority in faith and practice. And our trust, our dependence on what God has given us, where He has taken us, what He would have us to do. But in our business world, in our family life, in our recreational life, this Holy Scripture today can guide us and direct us so that we may go well in the world that God has given us to live in. So last week we talked about that lion. That lion is that precious picture of a stance to stand. I know I used the topic of strength last week as well, and that is true. That lion has that strength. But the great attribute of a lion that you see, my friend, is someone who will stand. They'll stand upon the truth, stand upon the precept. The Bible says that they turneth not away for any. The second creature that we see here that we utilized last week is that of the greyhound, who is swift in his move. He has a fabulous speed, if you will. A greyhound is quick. He is fast. He can move, but he's swift in his movements. When you watch them run, and we need to be swift in our lives. So the third aspect that we see, the third creature that that Solomon is speaking about here in Proverbs chapter 29, is the he-goat. The he-goat. Guys, what we find here is that this is the topic of sound. The topic of being sound. So if you're going to go well, you have to have some sound, sure-footed steps, if you will. Beloved, there are several examples that we can use of a goat and how the characteristics apply in our life. Things as a goat will keep their head down and they'll continue to move forward. But one of the ones that I want to focus on this morning, and in this particular topic, is the soundness of his steps. It's fed by the tenacity of their heart. A goat is a determined animal. They are tenacious in what they do. A goat will have a goal in mind, and maybe it's to reach food, or it's to find a shelter or something, or to reach a certain location. Maybe they're trying to get to that cleft of that rock, if you will, and they're not dissuaded by the uneven and dangerous terrain that is found. While at the same time, they're not stubborn to continue on a path that will only result in peril. Now listen carefully on that part. When we look at this attribute of sound or soundness, and the word sound means healthy, it means life. When you look at this he-goat, a he-goat is tenacious in their movements. They are calculating, if you will. When I say that, they have no problem traversing this dangerous terrain, this uneven course of taking steps, jumping from a teeny little rock with all 4 feet. But what they aren't stubborn enough to continue down this particular path that will only result in peril. They see their goal. They see where they want to go. They have their desire. They know what they want to do. But they take an appropriate path while it's at the same time making the needed adjustments within point A and point B to protect their life and the lives of their family. Think about that for us. The goat moves, my friend. Their moves and their steps result in soundness of a healthy life. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 14, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness to the bones. Again, this goat is it's a calculating characteristic, one in which is able to for him or her to adjust their steps according to the will of God. That's how we are to take it in our life. We are to take our steps according to safety and surety. We are to understand, as the psalmist said in Psalm 23, that he leads us by still waters. God is never going to lead you into a place of clamor. God is never going to lead you into a place of confusion. If you're in a midst of, in a world today where you are surrounded by confusion, you're surrounded by clamor, I'm telling you, God did not lead you there. But when you trust in him, you put your faith in him, your undying dependence is upon him. Your soundness of your steps can be ordered by the Lord. And when they're ordered by the Lord, you can understand that even though you're in the midst of a storm, you're in the midst of situations, you're in the midst, God will also allow you to make the needed adjustments from point A to point B to get there with sound, sure steps. And that's the characteristic we see in this he-goat. Calculating characteristic. One in which is able for people to adjust their steps according to the will of God. You may be sitting there saying, well, I know what God wants me to do. He wants me to do this. Let's just say he wants me to do X, and you fill in the blank, whatever God has called you to do. And then you're at this position right here, and you want to get to that point. A stubborn person who does not react or doesn't act with sound steps, led and directed by the Lord, will be bullheaded and will move on and say, bless God, I'm going to do that no matter what it does. I don't care if it hair lifts the Pope. I'm going to go, this is what I'm doing. This he-goat's characteristic will not do that. The he-goat has no problem in waiting upon a particular rock and evaluating the situation, viewing the terrain, looking at what is out in front of him or her, looking at what is out there and what steps to take. And they may take a longer step to the right and a longer walk to the left in order to get to that goal. But they'll get there with safety. They'll get there with surety. They'll get there with soundness of their steps because they're trusting God the whole time. They're not just bullheaded and moving ahead and going and doing what they say they're going to do no matter what. We've seen it time and time again with men of God. Hey, bless God, I'm going to do this. And they leave this and they leave that, and their family gets destroyed, and all these things happen in their life just because they didn't stop a setback and review the course and say, you know what? I'm going to make this adjustment, that adjustment, this adjustment. I'm going to have soundness in my steps, full of surety and certainty. Psalm 37 tells us this. It says in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Again, I come back to Psalm 23 in my heart. I preached on that last night in our Faith or X meeting, and so it's still fresh in my mind and my heart today. God will never lead you into the realm of clamor. There may be clamor around you. There may be storms around you. There may be problems around you. There may be situations going around you, but God's not leading you into that, but He'll guide you through it. He's leading you to the still waters, my friend. And I'm telling you, if you'll take on this characteristic of the he-goat here, your soundness, the soundness of your steps will be ordered by the Lord. And this is the key. Herein is the key, is the goat is known for their tenacious maneuvers upon the mountainside. Throughout that mountainous terrain, they're also directed by sound steps. And my friend, I want to encourage you today that decisions and choices and directions that you make in your life, make sure they're made with sound steps. Make sure they're ordered by the Lord. These steps have to be sound. They are what they need to be through that tenacious activity of God's guiding hand and the characteristic of this goat. Now, don't you think our steps should be the same? Should not we be tenacious in our drive to fulfill the will of God in our life? Should we not reach and see that goal that God has called us to do, trust Him and move forward? Yes. Do we need to make some adjustments in point A, between point A and point B? Absolutely. Steps that God is going to bring into our life, allowing us to take. Psalm 18:36 tells us this, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip." Let me say to this, and I'll close this point. When our steps are ordered of the Lord, He will enlarge them underneath us to ensure that they are sound, to ensure and enable them to be healthy, as opposed to otherwise, that we shall not slip. So, beloved, if you're going to go well, we need to go well with sound steps. And lastly, this morning, we find the characteristic of strength. Oh, it's found in that mighty king. Verse 31 says, "And a king against whom there is no rising up." Did you know that the word king occurs in the Bible 2,364 times? The Bible tells us this, that mercy and truth preserve the king, and his throne is upholden by mercy. Now, that's the image that most of our world today refuses to accept or to know. When they think of a king, they think of a ruling by a rod of iron. They think of a ruling, grueling, a leader who forces his will upon his followers. But the qualities of a king, we as believers must possess. I mean, not one of domination, as most may feel, but one of ruling for sure. And I'm going to ask you this question here today. When we're talking about being a king and we're talking about ruling, what's the first thing that came to your mind? I'll wait there just for a few seconds. What are you thinking about when you're talking about ruling right now? What comes to your heart? What is locked into your soul when you're speaking and you think about being a king and ruling? I'm not going to throw out any examples. You know what you're thinking about. But I'll tell you what Paul said. I'm sorry, what Solomon said. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 32, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city." The Bible tells us that someone who can rule their own heart, their own life, their own mind, their own actions is greater than those who can go and conquer a city in the midst of battle. That's what the Bible tells us. The king that no one shall rise up against, the king against whom there is no rising up, is the one who's going to rule by mercy. He's going to be the one who's slow to anger and mighty, the one that mercy and truth is being preserved by. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, "But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." From Solomon to Paul, we find that a king is someone who's ruling their own life, rule their own heart, rule their own actions, rule their own ways, their own words. Amen. I could dare say this morning, rule their own judgments. Matter of fact, let's go back to Solomon and read what he says in Proverbs chapter 25. Verse 28, he says, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit," watch this, "is like a city that is broken down and without walls." So let's put these three verses together just briefly, real quick, and I want you to think about it. He says, number one, "He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city." Now we're talking about the one that conquers a city is not as good as the one that can control and rule his own life. Paul says he keeps under his body and brings it into subjection. Solomon says yet again that he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down without walls. You know what that means? It means it's a city without any type of defense. It's a city with no protection. There is no rising up against a king which can rule his own heart, his own life, in his own ways. There is strength in bringing our spirit under control. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. This is not just over what you watch and wear either. Beloved, we have so many who overemphasize certain little niches today, and they build these standards upon their own ideas and their own ideologies, and they overemphasize that if a person just dresses right, they're doing right with God. Or if they don't watch this, they're right with God. If they don't listen to this, they're right with God. And guys, listen, we need to dress modest, yes. We don't need to put wicked things before our eyes nor in our ears. I agree with all those things, but I'm here to tell you this morning, it is not the be-all and the end-all of spirituality. We all know people, guys, that'll have those judgments, and they'll browbeat people, and they'll lift these standards up for those to follow in their life that none of their people in their church house can truly follow fully, amen. And then they'll sit down for lunch and eat a 3,000 calorie lunch. You tell me which one's right or wrong. You tell me who's controlling their spirit. Or they'll backbite, or they'll sow discord among the brethren. Guys, these are they that develop a tick list, if you will, to follow instead of challenging them and their family and their churches to follow the Lord Jesus Christ in all that He says and all that He does. The King ruleth His Spirit, and the King will go well. Beloved, listen carefully what Jesus Christ said. Jesus Christ said, no man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his good, except he will first bind the strong man, then he will spoil his house. But if you can't say no to a few things, then you're just weak and you're no king. If you can't say no to the 13 piles on a plate, or you can't say no to these things and that thing, listen, I'm not going to go through a list of my own. I'm just here to tell you this morning that you're going to rule your spirit. It's got to be all or none. Beloved, the same people, the religious Pharisees, Jesus Christ said this unto them. What He said in Mark chapter 3, He said to the very same people in Matthew chapter 23. He said, woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You see, beloved, the Bible tells us here that no one can rise against this king. A king against whom there is no rising. That characteristic are those. It has the strength to do that which is right before the eyes of God. Jesus Christ had problems with the religiousites. He had a problem with those who made a list to follow or opposed to following the Lord. And that's right. Straining at a gnat but swallowing a camel, He said. They have their little list of self-induced standards of what to wear, what to watch, who to speak to and who to not speak to. And they hold it up as if it's a measuring rod of spirituality against everyone else while they drop like flies in the ministry by letting other things go the way of Cain in their own life. The strong man, my friend, when you overemphasize one side and you forsake the other, the strong man is bound. And the enemy comes in and spoils your good. You see, my friend, you got to rule the Spirit to be that king. Simply because he or she cannot say no to gluttony or gossip or gainsaying, they rule not their spirit and become not the king, and therefore they go not well. You know what's happened to them? I look at people, and we try to help people out, and we see this group that sets up this little list over here of things that are comfortable for them, easy for them. But they become a prey to their own devices. I challenge you today, don't become a prey to your own devices. Proverbs 1 verse 17 says, surely in vain the net is spread in sight of any bird. Beloved, do you know how a wolf hunts? I want you to think about how a wolf hunts this morning. Wolves hunt in packs, okay? But mainly you'll find that the actual hunting process occurs in threes and fours. Their methodology is to flank the prey, but they do so by one lone wolf distracting their target. The one that you see, the one that you're focused on, is not the one that's going to attack you. It's the ones on the side that you don't see. You see, my friend, if the wolf can have you focused on him, if the wolf can have you focused on these things over here, the enemy from the side can devour you without issue. And this is the strong man being bound. This is those who forsake the attributes of a king, forsake mercy and truth. Too many biting themselves by straining at gnats and swallowing at camels, overemphasizing one thing while forsaking countless others. Paul said, let your moderation be known unto all men. Unto all men. That the Lord is at hand. Beloved, if you cannot say no at the dinner table, stop stomping on others with their, and I'm just using the dress code as an issue because that's easy. If you can't say no at the lunch table, if you can't say no on the iTunes or the spot, if you can't say no to some of those things, stop ripping people apart and tearing them down for how they dress or where they go or what they say. I'm not saying they're right. I'm not saying it's the best thing to do either. But I am saying this, if you can't say no, stop tearing other people down. Wisest men on the earth said in Proverbs 23:2, put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. If you cannot make healthier choices in your life, healthier physically, spiritually, mentally, and emotionally, stop running on those others who do. If you can't rule your own spirit, stop trying to rule other people's spirits, for it is mercy and truth that preserveth the king, not a list of standards that you've created. Beloved, if you will live a life above reproach, no one will be able to rise against you. This does not mean that we will or even will ever be perfect or not make mistakes. Guys, we're going to make mistakes, but I hope and pray that we learn from making those mistakes and we move forward so that we can go well in our life. So what does it mean? What does all this tied together mean? These four characteristics that we find. Verse 29 tells us four are comely in going. Not one, not two, not three, but four. My friend, when you tie them together to go well, it means that we adapt these characteristics in a manner to enable us to stand firm as the lion, moving with swiftness of the greyhound, with sound steps, ramming the enemy, because we are more than a conqueror as the king who no one will rise up against. Beloved, we are to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves in our life. We are to be meek and lowly, but this by no means indicates that we should be weak. As a matter of fact, it's quite the opposite. As a believer who will go well in this world, we will stand upon the truth, move swift with our actions, walk with sound steps, and have the strength of a conquering king. None of which we to our attack and constantly rip apart our own people. So many today believe they are doing the Lord's service by hack spitting and barking at people, telling them what they're doing wrong and what's wrong in the world and how people have fallen short. And it's tiresome. It's tiresome and it's weary and it does not help. It's almost like they want to do the Holy Spirit's job and yet with zero grace, with zero mercy. If I'm honest, I think they're doing it with plain ignorance. Beloved, from the pulpit to the pews and in every place, let us go well today. Let us tie all four of these that are comely. All four characteristics need to be in place. Each aspect has its quality in our Christian life. Four are comely and going. The lion who stands, most of the time, guys, and Preston and I talked about this last week, most of the time when you go out into, say, a zoo or something like that, the lion is quiet, yet he turneth not away from any. His actions are solid, they're strong. The lion doesn't go around announcing to the animal kingdom who and what he is, because the animal kingdom knows who and what he is, amen. He isn't known by what he does or says, but rather who he is. In other words, the lion does not have little man syndrome, if you will. I know, and if you're out there and you have that, I'm sorry, but it is. It's not going to help you with the cause of Christ. Getting louder and boastful and all, they're not going to help you with the cause of Christ. Highlighting other people's faults is not going to help you with the cause of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My friend, the greyhound, who is swift and moves with eloquence in their life, is that picture of grace. Mercy we find in the king, we'll see in just a second. Strength we find, the ability to stand we find in that lion. But it's the eloquence, the gracefulness, the swiftness of the greyhound. The greyhound's attribute in our life is speaking less and listening more. Gathering our thoughts and placing them in the arena of God's merciful hand, where our actions, our reactions take precedent over our actions. Paul said, those things which thou, what ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he said, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. It's simple as that. We're to stand. We're to be swift. We're to do. That goat, that he goat, it's his sound steps that make the difference. The ability to move about in the odd and rough and, in all fairness, dangerous terrain on the mountainside with that tenacity we spoke about. But the goat doesn't give up. He moves forward with sound steps. He doesn't waste steps. He doesn't waste jumps. He doesn't waste movement. The goat has not a problem in waiting with patience in order to calculate his next move, to evaluate the mountainside in order to reach his goal. He moves with soundness, which is healthy, life-giving steps. Because he understands, no matter how far he gets in the journey, that if he loses his life, it's all for naught. The king, my friend, there is no rising up against the king. Again, we must understand that we are more than conquerors in this life. And again, we need to understand that we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And it is the strength of the King of Kings which enables us to move forward and go well in this life. Stand as a lion, my friend, to be swift as a greyhound. Have sound steps of a goat and the strength of the king as we stand upon the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Beloved, simply put, if we're going to go well, it will be through the power and the might of our King, the Lord Jesus Christ, of which we possess in us, through us, and by us, by the Holy Spirit of God. So I bid you this day, go well, beloved. I hope and pray that you would go well in your life, that you would do well, that you would trust, that you'd put your dependence in the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would remove these things that maybe the preferences that you've been taught and just stick with the Word of God and live a balanced and moderate life before everyone, that the Lord is at hand. Work toward removing the shortcomings in your life by applying these four characteristics to your daily living. Hey, I can go ahead and tell you now, I know I probably have more shortcomings and failures than anyone. But every single day, I'm not interested in winning the week. I'm not interested in winning the month. I'm not interested in winning the year. My daily goal is to win the day. I just want to win the day. I want to correct and improve the shortcomings and the failings and the things that I have in my life every single day so I can go well with these four attributes. I pray that this was a blessing to your heart and mind this morning. Will you bow your heads with me? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be together today. I pray, Father, that you take this message and write it upon the table of every person's heart that hears, that they would look not to another person whatsoever, but look within themselves at how they can go well. Let us not look with judgmental eyes, but Lord, let us look at our own self within the mirror and what we can apply into our life so that we may go well, dear Lord. Father, I love you and I thank you. I give you glory, honor, and praise to the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. I do hope and pray and trust that the preaching and teaching of this word